What's good, everyone? G Money Stacks, aka Lonely Nomad, aka the Greginator, aka the Rookie of New York, and I want to talk to you about Anchor and my show. Anchor is a free hosting site and phone app which is owned by Spotify. It's the easiest, awesome way to make a podcast. Why are you wasting your money paying for a hosting site to promote your podcast with limited storages? Forget about it! I'll explain. There's creation tools that allow you to record, edit, monetize, add music intros, music outros, uploading episodes with unlimited storages of your podcast right from your phones, computers, laptops, and tablets. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Plus, you get sponsorships. It's everything you need to make a podcast, including the listeners supporting your show. That way, you can listen to the episodes of my show Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast, the unfiltered comedy show about the stories mixed with entertainment, music, real life segments, and much more. Now, where can you find, follow, and listen to the show, you ask? You can follow the podcast on Facebook and Instagram, which is Off the Meat Rat Chains NY podcast, alongside with my Instagram handle, G Money Stacks 555 in Queens and Queens, New York. To spell it out is OFFTHEMEATRACKCHAINZ NYPODCAST, all in one word. Now, streaming platforms, in case you missed any of the episodes, we are on Anchor, Audio Burst, Breaker, Podorama, Listen Notes, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Podcast Addict, Player FM, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, and please don't forget that Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast is on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. If you have a dream of creating and becoming a podcaster like myself and individual friends that is co-hosting with me, go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Take advantage of the opportunity that's thrown in your face. If I could do it and reach success, so can you. Let's go. Good evening, new listeners and current listeners out there in Canada, USA, areas of Long Island, plus the five boroughs of Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, Queens. This is your host with the most, G Money Stacks, aka Lonely Nomad, aka Greginator, aka Rookie Podcaster of Queens, New York. And you are now watching and rocking with Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast episode 52. Wow. Whoever thought that I would actually make it this far? Let's start off with a round of applause for reaching that milestone number 52. Okay, listen, if you're new to the channel on the YouTube community, along with being a new listener, and you missed any previous episodes whatsoever, don't worry, I got you. You can go subscribe to the YouTube channel, GMoneyStacks555, for more video content, and be sure to enable alerts so you could be reminded of when the show goes on the air live, alongside tell a friend to tell a friend. Leave a like and a comment with the episodes, along with the topics that's being discussed today, alongside with sharing the podcast, along with audio streaming platforms, which I will discuss at the end of the show, along with my other plug of the other podcast that I'm doing. So stick around for that one. Now, hold on a minute. I want to get to this segment that I was supposed to do. Now, the segment right here is, hang on a second, guys. Our first segment goes to Channel the Jazz. Every week, we discuss trending, interesting topics, especially the ones that don't get the recognition. And for those who are new to the YouTube channel and those who are new listeners that don't know what Channel the Jazz is, it's basically a segment about the trending and other topics that are very interesting, that catches the eyes, and also the ones that don't get discussed, I will cover that as well. So here we go. Now, this first topic kind of got me, and this has to do with fucking T-Pain. All right. Now, he was caught recently in music news lately, and I want to read an article for what Dr. Dre had to say. Now, hold on. So, okay. So T-Pain sees, okay, according to the article from allhiphop.com, it says that T-Pain seems to be fed up with certain modern day musicians. Last week, the king of autotunes went on an epic rant about artists sounding too much like other artists during a Twitch session. And he said, in quote, do some different music. We have all the shit that you are doing. Lil Uzi Vert is already doing it. Lil Baby is already doing it. The Baby is already doing it. It's literally two niggas with the Baby in their name that's already doing all the music you want, screamed T-Pain. The rapper turned singer, album creator continued, do something else. That's it. That's all we want. Do something else. We have it. We have it already. You don't have to do that music anymore. T-Pain got a surprising cosign from one of the greatest hip-hop artists of all time, legendary producer and rapper Dr. Dre, made a rare return to social media in order to back up the Buy You a Drink shorty snapping hitmaker. Dr. Dre posted the clip of T-Pain's diatribe on his Instagram page. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer wrote in the caption, "Shout out to T-Pain. I'm here laughing my fucking ass off, But he's right. I know and feel exactly what you're saying. Oh boy, T-Pain has done enough. While Dr. Dre seemed to appreciate T-Pain's comments, other social media users shared negative reactions to the viral video. T-Pain took to Twitter to address the backlash. I understand not everyone likes me and may not agree with my opinions, but by all means, don't make up dumb shit like he just mad because he ain't got no hits. I'm in all different genres. Got 2 legit Grammys in the past 3 years and got a song out right now that's top 15 on radio in the U.S., tweeted T-Pain.
Well, listen, I didn't hear any new T-Pain tracks for the past couple of months in the New York radio waves. And it's kind of hard to actually, it's kind of hard for me to agree with. I get what he's saying about originality, but at the same token of my soul, forgive me for saying this, but you've been ODing on all tunes in every single track that you made in albums and features that you've been featured by other artists and stuff like that. But for you to actually say, because 2 people or 3 people already did it already. So fucking what, man? Like, it's almost like, let artists be artists. Not everybody's going to be using auto tunes and stuff like that. You don't know what type of voices they have. You don't know if their voices sound alike. Like, come on. And for me to hear something like this, this is where the hypocrisy comes. This is where the hypocrisy that I hate, though. Like, you tell other artists, to do something else. Like, what do you, like, on some real shit. Like, you talk about originality. Were you original all these years from when you did all these albums and all that other crazy shit with the fancy auto tunes and shit? Like, come on, you weren't using your fucking real voice. You were using fucking auto tune machines. Worse than Future. Worse than fucking NBA YoungBoy and all the other artists. It's like, come on, like you got like stop being a hypocrite. You know what I mean? And that's why, and then you want to act like all the press because Usher called you out and said that you ruined music. And you talk about you didn't understand. First of all, you OD'd on fucking auto-tunes. Okay? Like, use your real voice. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, on a real, like, come on, man. Like, this is just crazy to me, man. Like, stop being a fucking hypocrite, man. All right. So let me just say, I'm sorry I had to go on a little tangent, man. I had to really, talk about this shit too, man. I've been waiting so long just to talk about this though, man. And I'll get to the Usher part in a second. he added, in quote, "I'm not explaining myself. I just don't like people being content with being stupid and uninformed. If some random talk shit on your page, you look up all their SM pages to see what dirt you can get. Just do a little research before you think you hitting me with something." Come on. Get the fuck out of here, man, with this crazy ass shit, man. Look here. All right, I'm about to go to the part where
This is where the whole Usher thing comes in. All right. So, give me a minute. Okay. So, according to a TMZ article that I'm about to get into, which includes Usher, of course, it says that Usher told me I ruined music, but no hard feelings. I mean, okay. So T-Pain just added some much needed context that softened the blow. Everyone assumed he took with Usher's comment saying it's not as big of a deal as he perhaps made it seem. T-Pain writes, I still love and respect Usher telling that story was in no way meant to disrespect the man. People talk shit about me 24/7, but when it comes from someone you truly respect, it hits very differently. He adds, I never said fuck Ush. It was a drop in the ocean of shit I was already gone through. T-Pain says Usher summoned him some years back just to casually let him know he had torpedoed the music biz by popularizing autotune, which I just finished ranting about that not too long ago, which T says sent him into depression. The Buy You a Drink singer recently told the tale on Netflix's new docuseries, This Is Pop, detailing what he claims was a serious cold-ass encounter in 2013. Watch how T-Pain describes the alleged put down. Apparently, they were both flying in the same airplane on the way to an award show. When T-Pain says he was called to Mr. Raymond's seat, they exchanged pleasantries, and then T-Pain says Usher laid in. According to T, Usher believed T-Pain had tainted professional singing for guys like Usher, who use their natural voice, and he supposedly said with a straight face. T-Pain says he was shocked and that before he knew it, he realized he'd fallen into depression, which he says lasted 4 years, something he seems to be attributing to Usher moment itself. It's a wild story. Of course, people are jumping to T-Pain's defense in light of this, assuming he not only did not ruin music, but might have actually revolutionized it, considering every other famous rapper singer these days uses some form of autotune. And for argument's sake, even if you agree with Usher's sentiment, why break it to someone in that manner? And so randomly, seems like a jerk move on its face. Anyway, we'll see if Usher offers a different version of a story. Look, I want to say this before I even go to the next topic. All right. Look, I gotta agree with Usher on this one. And I say this because of the simple scenario. When you use auto tunes in every song and every feature that of an artist that features you and stuff like that, you know, it tends to get ruined. Like, I don't know about the whole idea of revolutionizing music, but I don't know about revolutionizing music, but it sounds like you did the opposite of revolutionary stuff. You basically ruined the music. Like, as I previously ranted off before, like, you know, like, why not use your natural voice, man, instead of using the fucking auto-tune machine all the fucking time? You know what I'm saying? That's what,
There's no need for us to fucking apologize if he's being realistic. If he's being realistic with T-Pain about all the years of using auto-tunes in every song and every and the times music artists feature him on a track or whatever, of course everybody's gonna feel away. But it's like don't it's like I said before, man, like don't try to tell other artists what they can or what they can't do. Let them be artists, man. And if they want to, and if they want to feature melodies or whatever, let them do that. Like, come on. I'm so sick of this story. Let me go on to the damn topic. Okay. So we're gonna go to Stephen A. Smith, which, by the way, I did not expect him to actually say this shit too. Now, for those of you who may not know what happened, Stephen A. Smith may have talked about how baseball players are relying on, you know, translators and to say that they don't speak English. Now, I have an article right here, which I am going to read to you from the Daily Mail. So listen up. So, all right. So, ESPN's Stephen A. Smith apologizing for criticizing Shohei Ohtani's use of an interpreter ahead of the MLB All-Star Game after woke cancel mob came for $12 million a year host when he tried to double down. Okay, so Stephen A. Smith on Monday criticized the Japanese superstar MLB players. Smith said that Ohtani was harming the sport's popularity. Ohtani speaks some English but prefers to use an interpreter for interviews. Smith's remarks were immediately criticized online, but he initially resisted. By Monday evening, the New Yorker had apologized in a lengthy Instagram post. So, here it is. A sports anchor has apologized to the Japanese baseball player for saying that his use of interpreters in interviews damages the sport. Stephen A. Smith, an ESPN host who is black, was accused of xenophobia after saying that Los Angeles Angels pitching and hitting sensation Shohei Ohtani's translators negatively impacts Major League Baseball's popularity. The fact that you got a foreign player that doesn't speak English, believe it or not, I think contributes to harming the game to some degree. When that's your box office appeal, Smith said during Monday's episode of First Take. Smith was fiercely criticized for his comments, but initially resisted backing down. By Monday night, however, he had changed his mind and issued an apology. Let's see. He said on his Instagram like this. As I'm watching things unfold, let me say that I never intended to offend any community, particularly the Asian community, and especially Shohei Ohtani himself. As an African American, keenly aware of the damage stereotyping has done to many in this country, it should have elevated my sensitivities even more. Based on my words, I failed in that regard, and it's on me and me alone. Smith, who earns $12 million a year in his sports anchor role, said that he has screwed up. He said he was sorry for his remarks, particularly at a time when racist attacks against Asian Americans are on the rise. Hold on, guys. Before I continue, I want to say this, though. For Stephen A. Smith to say something like that, it really kind of blew my mind. And, you know, it's not easy for a lot of people, including some athletes who try to learn English, which is not an easy thing to actually do. Heck, it took me years for me to learn English myself. You know what I mean? I try to be a little fluent in English and stuff. But at the same token, like, you have to understand that there's some athletes that were not born in America that don't speak English. Like, you got people that's like, you know, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Venezuelan. You got people that's Cuban. You got people that's Asian, Chinese, and other ethnic backgrounds. You know what I'm saying? Like the lesson of the day that Stephen A. Smith should realize, how difficult it is for some of these athletes who are not from America, that it's difficult to actually, you know, learn English. You know what I mean? And I can actually agree with the backlash that's being given to him. All right. Let me continue. Okay. So, Otani is one of the brightest stars in all sports, says Smith. Quote, he's making a difference as it pertains to inclusiveness and leadership. I should have embraced that in my comments. Instead, I screwed up in the day and age with all the violence being perpetrated against the Asian community. My comments, a bit unintentional, were clearly insensitive and regrettable. The 53-year-old New Yorker has had to apologize in the past for suggesting that women provoke domestic violence and for saying that the German women's soccer team might not want to mess up their hair. Okay. I'm not sure what that means, but this deserves a buzzer. And on Monday, he apologized again. There's simply no other way to put it, he concluded. I'm sincerely sorry for any angst I've caused with my comments on First Take this morning. Again, I'm sorry. And I'm happily reiterate these words more extensively tomorrow morning as well. I don't know what this is. Get this out of here. I'm sorry about that, folks. Keep getting these pop-ups. Continue where I left off. Give me a second. Let me see. Where did I leave? Oh, no, that's not what I mean. Boy. Okay, hold on, folks. This is not what I meant to do. Okay. All right. Here we go. I'm back. All right. Wait a minute. This is not where I left off. All right. So, Otani, the first two-way starter in the All-Star Game's 88-year history, does speak English, some English, and knows Spanish as well, but has chosen to rely on interpreters when speaking with reporters since entering the majors in 2017. In spite of his perceived language barrier, Otani made history on Monday by being named the leadoff hitter and starting pitcher for the American League in Tuesday's All-Star Game. Let's see. He currently leads the majors in home runs 33 and boasts
boast a solid 3.49 earned run average on the mound in what many and many experts see as baseball's best two-way performance since Babe Ruth last played for the Boston Red Sox in 1919. But to Smith, the fact that Ohtani requires the assistance of an interpreter was too much to ignore. And when you talk about an audience gravitating to the two or to the ballpark to actually watch you, I don't think it helps that the number one face is a dude that needs an interpreter. So you can understand what the hell he's saying in this country, he said. And that's what I'm trying to say. Smith was strongly criticized for his remarks. This xenophobic stance by Stephen A. Smith isn't just an off-the-cuff hot take. One critic wrote on Twitter, This isn't barbershop talk. This is a produced segment. This take is accompanied by graphics. This take is a segment that was previously discussed in the morning meetings. So this person actually said, this person says on Twitter, this wasn't an off the cuff comment. The prepared, siren and cringeworthy too. Why the hell would it be bad for Shohei Ohtani to be the number one attraction? He's a generational talent doing things we haven't seen since Babe Ruth. Why? Because he's Japanese and learning English. Former ESPN host Keith Olbermann described himself as a supporter of Smith, but admitted that he deserves to be suspended. I've supported Stephen A. Smith when he's been big at ESPN and when he hasn't, and when he's been right and when he's been wrong, Olbermann tweeted. But this about Shohei Ohtani is straight up racism at a time of dangerous anti-Asian violence. This requires an apology and a suspension now. Many athletes who speak English as a second language have chosen to stick with interpreters after mastering the dialect, including former Japanese major leaguer Ichiro Suzuki and Mexican boxer Canelo Alvarez.
Hang on a minute. Okay. So, a 27-year-old in his fourth major league season with the Los Angeles Angels, Ohtani is the first two-way starter in the history of the All-Star Game, which began in 1933. I was actually not expecting to be chosen as a pitcher at all, Ohtani said Monday through a translator. It's a huge honor, and I'm going to try my best. Ohtani has generated huge buzz across baseball for his exploits at the plate and on the mound. He leads the majors with 33 home runs and is 4-1 with a 3.49 ERA in 13 starts. This is what the fans want to see. It's personally what I wanted to see, said AL manager Kevin Cash of Tampa Bay. Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals will be the starting pitcher for the National League in the game at Coors Field. Ohtani was elected to start at DH by fans and was voted to the AL pitching staff by fellow players. He's hitting 279 with 70 RBIs, trailing only Toronto Vladimir Guerrero Jr., 73,
and Boston's Rafael Devers, 72. On the mound, Ohtani has struck out 87 and walked 35 in 67 innings. His baseball averages 93.8 miles per hour, essentially the same as the 93.7 miles per hour exit velocity of balls off his bat. Tops among qualified major league batters. Ohtani is the most accomplished two-way player since Babe Ruth, who last pitched regularly in 1919. Okay. Fans saw him in action starting Monday night in the Home Run Derby. Ohtani will become the second Japanese pitcher to start an All-Star game at the Hideo Nomo in 1995, and the third Asian, Hyun Jin Ryu of South Korea, started in 2019. A rules change this year for the All-Star game will allow Ohtani, listed as a DH, to be treated as two individual players and remain as a hitter when he is removed as pitcher. Wow. Give it up for this guy.
Stephen A. Smith, you should have known better to say some shit like that. You should have known better. And that's my take on this. All right. Now, we go to the next topic, which has to do with, I know a lot of people have been talking about this cinnamon challenge. Oh, boy. So the cinnamon challenges, rules, risk, and videos, according to challengestodo.com. So, man, most cinnamon challenge videos turn out the same. Everyone watching knows what to expect, except the poor sucker doing the challenge. It is a slow and painful wait to see how the poor fool would fail and pour it all out. And then we all erupt in laughter as the poor sucker hustles for water to help the dry mouth. Okay, hang on a minute. In this hilarious and what must be a painful moment for the sucker, the realization that this was an impossible challenge set in. The sucker decides, in quote, "Someone must pay. Someone else must swallow cinnamon while I watch the excitement and hope in the eye of the fool and laugh as the idiot realized that hope is a drying river and cinnamon dries up the throat." Oh my gosh. Oh my fucking gosh. This is crazy. This is the craziest shit that I ever heard in my damn life. The cinnamon challenge is a viral internet challenge that requires the contestant to swallow a spoonful of cinnamon in 30 seconds. Really? Cinnamon out of all fucking ingredients? Why couldn't you just go for, like, you know, candy or something like that? That would have been better. But cinnamon? Come on, son. Come on. Anyway, so goes like this. Generally, most participants fail at the cinnamon challenge, but in some cases, the participants manage to beat the cinnamon challenge. So the rules of the cinnamon challenge: set a camera for the audience to watch, put a spoonful of cinnamon in your mouth, swallow it under 60 seconds, upload the reaction. Oh my God. I'm sorry for laughing at this, man, but this is kind of like worse than the dry scooping challenge that I just talked about recently. Oh my gosh. So the risk associated with the cinnamon challenge. Doctors have warned
the public to stop attempting the cinnamon challenge. It is risk harmful to the lungs. There is a danger of breathing difficulties and pneumonia, and ultimately it could lead to death. Gee whiz. Okay, cinnamon challenging death. A four-year-old in Kentucky, United States, reportedly died due to ingestion of cinnamon. Oh my gosh. Reports do not say he died during the cinnamon challenge, but his mom has campaigned against the challenge as it could encourage kids to ingest cinnamon when no one is watching, thus leading to fatal consequences. 20 best cinnamon challenge videos. Oh gosh. I have compiled a list of 20 hilarious attempts of the cinnamon challenge. They are mostly cinnamon challenge fails, so make sure you don't watch it alone.
Why does this shit remind me of the Jackass movies, man? when they try to do all these crazy ass stunts, just like, this is crazy to me.
Oh man. Glozell, American comedian and YouTube personality Glozell, took the cinnamon challenge and it was an epic fail. She obviously had no clue about the effects of cinnamon. Just look at how large the spoon was. Hilarious stuff. Elena Fender, Canadian YouTube content creator. Elena Fender was punished by her subscribers for missing her video scheduled upload. Lucky you, her punishment was the cinnamon challenge. Oh, wow. Furious Pete. Furious Pete holds 9 Guinness World Records in eating, and guess what he's eating in this video? An entire bottle of cinnamon. Did he succeed? Oh, find out.
I'm not going to play the videos. I'm going to actually, you know, read off of this. So you can find that out on your own.
Roy, for Wasabi Productions, took the cinnamon challenge on his new channel, Guava Juice. Share with power from Roy in this challenge. Onision takes on the cinnamon challenge, and like others before him, he claims he loves cinnamon, and this should be easy as pie.
Really though?
Really though? Really though? My main question is this. This is just
what even possessed people on TikTok to come up with all these ridiculous challenges? I know there's a few that's mad funny, but the dry scooping challenge and this one right here, the cinnamon challenge, that shit is fucking deadly, man. Yeah, but I don't know. I know you're doing this for likes and attention, but is it really worth being dead off of this shit? Apparently not.
Yeah. So, Stern versus Firm. In the spirit of challenges, Stern and Firm took the cinnamon challenge, and the rules were set. The first person to swallow the cinnamon wins. My money is on the one who hates the cinnamon. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Roy and Alex. Wasabi Productions, Roy and Alex. And it did not go well for either of them. Oh, man. YTF. 7 symbolizes perfection, and YTF, a group of 7, add a new spin to the cinnamon challenge. You eat cinnamon and explain the city YTF would be visiting. Teddy, to be fair, He looked like he knew what was coming, but the sentiment challenges takes no prisoners. Okay. Miranda sings, this is probably going to be easy for me. I love cinnamon, and I put it on all my food. I put it on toast.
Yeah, that toast sounds, it makes sense.
Put cinnamon in my mouth, screams mom. Adam and Kira. Adam was crying because he got cinnamon in his pants. Oh my goodness. Cinnamon in his pants. Wait till he had the cinnamon in his mouth. Oh my gosh. Break. It is just cinnamon. Easier said than done, poor girl. Sky and Peyton. Sky and Peyton take on the cinnamon challenge, but Sky's hilarious reaction was enough for this video.
I bet you it is. There's more to this. So
Stephen Joe is assured to be exact, he would complete the cinnamon challenge. Was he successful? Find out. Rosanna Pansino. I'm never using cinnamon ever again. Comedy Shorts Gamer. Dad's making everything better. Find out who won the cinnamon challenge.
These videos make me want to watch it and make me laugh my ass off over this shit. I'll probably watch it after this recording, so who knows?
Okay. Max Mofo.
Don't ask me how he got that name.
He promised to do the regular cinnamon challenge first and then take some more. He's resilient. You've got to give him credit. Siggers, true challenges require more than one person. In true challenge fashion, two friends bet each other $20 to complete the cinnamon challenge. Nikki and John. Watch Nikki and John take on the cinnamon challenge. They use big spoons, so sit back, grab your popcorn, and watch. Oh, boy. The slow-mo guys. Everything is better in slow-mo. Watch the cinnamon challenge in slow-mo. Oh, my gosh, man. Guys, if you want to take a look at all these videos, you just go to YouTube and all these names that I just mentioned. You're going to be on the edge of your seat laughing like I just did just now, though, man. yeah, man. This right here is so hilarious. Let me go to this here's some not so funny shit, though, man. So, the Celtics fan got arrested. Now, we're going to go to this. We're going to go to this right now, actually, if I could actually. Okay, so USAtoday.com talks about the Celtics fan who allegedly threw a water bottle at Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving, who used to play for Boston, was arrested and charged with assault and battery with a deadly weapon, according to a report. Oh, my gosh. And I have to really ask. Boston Police Sergeant Detective John Boyle told USA Today Sports in a phone call that the suspect apprehended for an alleged incident, Cole Buckley of Braintree, Massachusetts, is scheduled to be arraigned Tuesday in Boston Municipal Court. The fan is also subject to a lifetime ban from TD Garden in Boston. The arrest took place at 9:46 p.m. Eastern. The incident happened Sunday at the Brooklyn's 141-126 victory in Game 4 of the first round of the NBA playoffs. As the players were leaving the floor, Irving walked into the tunnel when a water bottle thrown from the stands nearly hit him.
Hang on a minute.
All right. Quote, it's unfortunate that sports has come to a lot of kind of crossroad where you are seeing a lot of old ways come up, Irving said after the game. It's been that way in history in terms of entertainment and performance and sports for a long period of time. It's just underlying racism and treating people like they are in a human zoo, throwing stuff at people, saying things. There's a certain point where it gets to be too much. Yes Network, the Nets broadcast partner, caught the incident on camera, which marked the fourth time in the week, last week to be exact, that fans at NBA games have alleged thrown objects at players or have shown acceptable behavior. Moments after the incident, cameras also showed Buckley, 21, being escorted out of the TD Garden. Moments before the incident, to be exact, Irving appeared to step on the Celtics logo at midcourt. Irving scored 39 points on 11 for 24 shooting, including 6 for 12 on three-pointers. Before the best of seven series headed to Boston for Game 3 and Game 4, Irving said, in quote, hopefully we can just keep it strictly basketball and there's no belligerence of any racism going on or subtle racism or people yelling expressive from the crowd. Irving played for the Celtics in 2017, 18, and 2018, 2019, and signed with the Nets during free agency in the summer of 2019. The Nets have the 3-1 series lead. All right. Okay. In other sports news, Naomi Osaka. Now, I do agree with the idea of taking some time off from doing press for the media. And I spoke about self-care and the mental health awareness check-in month and how important self-care is. So, you know, because you can't cater to everybody if you don't take care of yourself and your mental health. And this is where this story comes in. All right. So, here we go. Let me see. Hold on, Naomi. One thing. Wait a minute here. A series, nah, that's not the article. Okay. All right, let me just all right. So now I didn't even know she has a docuseries that's going on. So let's read that. Naomi Osaka, a soccer docuseries, takes an intimate look at tennis star. Los Angeles, those looking for definitive answers about Naomi Osaka and how she copes with the demands of her career and fame shouldn't expect to find them in a new Netflix docuseries about four-time Grand Slam champion. This is from a website from abcnews.go.com/entertainmentwire story, folks, in case you want to know about this. It's the tennis star's unresolved questions that are the heart of Naomi Osaka. Director, producer Garrett Bradley said of the series that was taped over a 2-year period, starting with the 2019 U.S. Open. Production concluded in early 2021 before Osaka's withdrawal from the French Open. The three-point part series, debuting Friday, is a contemplative, intimate look at a young athlete finding her way, film of major tournaments, wins and losses, is interwoven with scenes of Asuka's time with family and her boyfriend, the rapper Cordae. Her training and business demands, Asuka's reflection on her career, multiracial identity, and the death of mentor Kobe Bryant, and her decision to protest police killings of Black men and women. hang on a minute here. It was really important for me to not go into the project with an agenda or really even with an opinion, Bradley. A 2021 Oscar nominee for the documentary Time said, I really tried to open myself up to her world and and where she was at and try to understand the sort of essence of who she was. As filming progressed, she said it became clear that the series foundation would be the conundrums faced not only by Asuka, but society at large.
Hold that thought.
All right. Okay. Those inquiries are connected to value systems and self-definition and how one can create a more holistic understanding of themselves in any given environment that they find themselves in, said Bradley, whose fellow producers, including LeBron James under the umbrella of his Spring Hill production company. Asuka, age 23, who was not made available for an interview, withdrew from the French Open last May, citing huge waves of anxiety before speaking to the media and revealing that she has suffered long bouts of depression. She also skipped the just-ended Wimbledon, with her agent saying she wanted personal time, but is expected to compete in the upcoming Tokyo Olympics for her native Japan. Asuka was just a few years old when she, her sister, and their Japanese mother and Haitian father moved to the United States. In a Time magazine essay published July 8th, Asuka wrote that, believe it or not, I am naturally introverted and do not court the spotlight. I always try to push myself to speak up for what I believe to be right, but that often comes at a cost of great anxiety. I do hope that people can relate and understand it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to talk about it. There are people who can help, and there is usually light at the end of any tunnel, she said, thanking Michelle Obama, Michael Phelps, and other public figures for offering support. And I actually agree with this, as I said before. I do agree with the fact that, you know, it's okay to take personal time for yourself. You get what I'm saying? When you take personal time for yourself, it actually helps you regroup. You want to regroup from all the anxiety and you know, peer pressure from the media and everybody else. Like, you have to understand something, man. If she wants to take personal time, let her take personal time. I've taken personal time before because, you know, there's some times that I don't really want to be around certain people because of the anxiety and other things that's been, you know, bothering me. And it's hard sometimes to talk about it with certain people because it's kind of hard to know who to trust. Like, you can't just let anyone into your world if they don't understand you as a person and as a whole. Not just pieces of you, but all of you as a whole. That's what I'm saying. So I have to give it up to her, because for her to actually, you know, take a stand to say that she's not going to be able to, you know, compete in
Tokyo and other places where she has to play tennis and stuff like that. Like give the woman a break. And it's not the end of the world, you know what I'm saying? It's not the end of the world. Like, let her take her personal time, let her regroup, and eventually she'll be back, but it's not going to be overnight. These things take time. You know what I'm saying? These things take time. And I actually can agree with that. So I like I said, I do agree with taking personal time for yourself. And you know, speaking of personal time, let's continue with this story. So the Netflix docuseries include footage of Asuka and her sister Mari on the court as youngsters with the tennis star recalling spending at least 8 hours a day at practice, adding, "I was just tired." Mari Asuka, age 25, also played professional tennis, but said in a social media post in March that she was retiring from the sport because it was a journey which I didn't enjoy ultimately. The docuseries sketches a portrait of Naomi Osaka as thoughtful and driven to succeed, but struggling to cope with her sports demands and her future. At one moment of self-reflection, she says, "So what am I if not a good tennis player?" Filmmaker Bradley cautions that the series should not be seen as definitive, but rather a snapshot of a brief period in a life that continues to evolve and grow. This moment that we captured was her in the process of learning curve, which I think she directly articulates really beautifully, that there are elements of fame that are hard to be prepared for, Bradley said. The sustenance of that she finds is in accepting where she is currently in this moment, and certainly in her family and in her loved ones, but also in finding her own voice. And that includes choosing when to use it and when not to. Asked how she perceived Asuka's emotional well-being, Bradley said she considers her an incredibly strong and really brilliant person. She's in control of her own narrative, and I think that's a beautiful person. A beautiful thing, she said. Give it up for Naomi Osaka for taking personal time for herself, concentrate on her mental health. And like I said, man, there's nothing wrong with taking personal time for yourself. You know what I'm saying? And I can relate because it's happened to me before. And when I found out that my sister had, my older sister who's not here, that had anxiety, to be honest with you, because I've been hearing that word for years, and it was pretty hard for me to really understand how people really get it. But when I do when I did the research about it, it's not really something you can get. It's something that you feel. You get what I'm saying? It's not like something you could catch. You know what I mean? Like if you're going through something, whether it's trauma, whether it's whatever it is, it's okay to take some time to regroup and take care of yourself. And that's why I go hard about self-care, because self-care is important when it comes to mental health. And I say this with the token of my heart and soul, that mental health is important. And I always say at the end of the show that, you know, it's okay to reach out to one another, see what your friends or your loved ones and what they're going through on the inside, internally. On the outside, they may be fine, but on the inside, they're not. And that's all right. And there is no right time to reach out to someone. Whether it's a good, bad, or the ugly, it doesn't matter. As long as you're doing your part, and I know I'm trying to do my best to reach out to some people that I didn't get a chance to do. So it really kind of pains me that, you know, sometimes when you try to reach out, then they're not really available. So and that's all right. So I'm gonna actually let me see if there's any more topics that I need to cover. I think I covered everything. I'm not doing the Zoom epic fails. I changed my mind at the last minute, so I'm not going to really do that topic. So I think I'm going to actually end this. I'm actually going to end this right now. So if you like what you heard, show some love by giving a charitable donation to support the show by my PayPal, which is G Money Stacks Queens, New York, which is paypal.me. Yeah, paypal.me/GMoneyStacksQueensNewYork. And my Cash App is $GMoneyStacks555. That's $GMoneyStackZ555. All right. Now, let me make sure I put this up to make sure that you guys are following the pages. As you can see, you can follow the podcast on Facebook and Instagram, all in one word with the same name, Off the Meat Rat Chains NY Podcast, alongside with my other podcast, which is on Twitch and on the, and I will talk about the YouTube part in a second. Yeah, so you can follow me on twitch.tv/GMoneyStacks555QueensNewYork. And if you miss any previous episodes that's on Twitch or whatever and it's deleted, don't worry. I am going to export the video to the YouTube channel, which will be discussed in a second. So you can follow me on my primary handle, which is GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York. And now I will go over the streaming platforms on the go. So here we go. Now, streaming platforms on the go where you can listen to Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast episodes on Podorama, Anchor, Spotify, Audio Burst, Deezer, TuneIn, plus Alexa, Player FM, Podchaser. Don't forget to go to the Podchaser and Podfriend link so you can get your opinions, your comments, what you think about the episode and other episodes previously with a 5-star rating by showing some love with a 5-star rating. Now, we on Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Podcast Addict. We are on Breaker, Listen Notes, Podbay, Podfriend, Google Podcasts. And don't forget to listen to Off the Meat Rat Chain's New York podcast episodes on Amazon Music. We are on iHeartRadio, number one app for podcasting. And the last but not least, the YouTube. I need y'all to do y'all part by subscribing to two YouTube channels. The first one is the Meticulous Vibe Juice podcast on YouTube. And like I previously just said, the reason why I had to export the video from Twitch to the YouTube channel is because Twitch deletes the videos in 14 days. So in case you didn't see the previous episodes, like episode 1 or episode 2, don't worry. It's going to be on the YouTube channel. So you can subscribe there alongside with alerts. Be sure to leave a like and a comment along with the review topics that we discussed on the show, and you know, tell a friend to tell a friend about Meticulous Vibe Juice podcast, which is going to be on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Sundays at 12 p.m. That's Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Sundays at 12 p.m. All right. And also, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel by enabling alerts and the notification bell, so you can be reminded of when the show Off the Meat Rat Chain's New York podcast goes on the air live. And upcoming episodes, including live stream episodes, previous episodes, and you know, be sure to leave a like and a comment alongside with the episodes and the topics that was discussed. Be sure to tell a friend about it. The link is in the pages of my primary handle of GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York, alongside with Off the Meat Rat Chain's New York podcast on Instagram as well, which is linktree/GMoneyStacks555. You click on there, you choose any other audio streaming platform that you listen to, and be sure to share the podcast along with the audio streaming platforms with your friends. And also, I will start posting some episodes for my other podcast show, which is Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, starting Tuesday coming up. So you're going to get the audio episodes for Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, which is my other plug show that I'm doing on Tuesdays and Sundays. It's going to be Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, and maybe Sunday, depending on how I feel. I made an announcement on the Meticulous Vibe Juice podcast page about that. In case you didn't see it, take a look, and I will let you know which streaming platform for Meticulous Vibe Juice podcast, so you could be able to listen and be able to watch. So don't worry about that. I got you. All right. And like I always say, like I said previously, it's okay to take personal time for yourself, especially when it comes to mental health and how important self-care it is for you to think about yourself. You can't please everybody. You can't cater to everybody unless you take care of yourself. You also have to, you know, make sure you have to make sure that you are good before you cater to other people. And also, if you have a dream of being a podcaster host like myself, that's doing two shows right now, you know, be sure to, you know, follow your dreams and make sure that You know, nobody tells you what you can or can't do. And I say this because, you know, sometimes you're gonna be surrounded by haters and stuff like that. Hang on a minute. So yeah, you're gonna be surrounded by haters all the time. And for the most part, you don't wanna let that get to you. And I say this because it took me years for me to realize that, you know, there's some people with, you know, weird dark energy who want to give you a hard time on things. And sometimes you're not gonna always make everybody happy. You know what I'm saying?
And
I say this because this is important. And like I always say, you can't please everybody, no matter what you try to do. And no matter what you try to do, no matter how hard you try to do right for yourself. But you also have to ask this question for yourself too. Are you doing the right thing for your parents, yourself, or are you doing this for other people to give validation? That's the question that you should ask yourself. And you know what? I love trying to talk to people, especially around this time, especially the people out here that's listening right now, which I would like to start by saying thank you for listening to the show and the episodes. And you know, in case you missed any previous episodes, like I said, man, like 1 through 51, it's all in the link in the bio for Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast. All right. It's Linktree/GMoneyStacks555. You can't miss it. You click on there and you click on any audio stream choices whatsoever. So I think that's it for me. And thank you for tuning in and watching and listening. And I hope that we could do more to reach success. So far, we reached 52 episodes in the books. So this is major epic right here. So we're gonna go out with a bang. And yes, man, we're gonna go out with a bang, man. This is not a sad episode, man. This is not a sad episode. This is exciting for us, man. And yes, you're gonna hear some explosions. And of course, you're gonna hear. Now, as I always say before I end the show, is don't let these hater clown ships, aka online flizzies, tell you what you can and can't do. Because at the end of the day, you vision them as Klondike bars. And what would you do with a Klondike bar? You eat it like this. And yes, that's going to do it. I'm G Money Stacks. Thank you for listening, tuning in, rocking with me, do 52 episodes. And let's hope I do more episodes like this till I reach past 100, which I will do. So take care. Make sure you care for your loved ones. Be safe. And, you know, have a good night. Be careful. Peace and one love.
Listen, if you like what you heard, all you got to do is follow the podcast, comment about the topics and what you thought about the episodes of Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast on Facebook and Instagram, so you can be a part of the discussions for each topic every week. Plus, if you would like to be a guest co-host to chime in on topics, topic ideas, interviews, whether you are a rapper, singer, black-owned trendsetter that has a business, producer, actor, actress, doctor, DJ, VJ, radio personality, podcast host, other career fields, need advice that you want us to read on the air like a chain letter about anything, you can email the show at offthemeatratchainsnypodcast@gmail.com. offthemeatratchainsnypodcast@gmail.com. Now, where you can follow us is on Facebook and Instagram, which is all in one word, which is Off the Meat Rat Chains NY Podcast, alongside with my Instagram handle, GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York. That's GMoneyStacks 555 INQUEENSNY. That's GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York. Now, in case you missed any of the episodes, don't worry, I got you. You can download your favorite episodes, like, subscribe, show the podcast some love with a 5-star rating. We show our realness as far as the subjects being discussed in the conversations we have in each episode of the podcast. Inspire, motivate, sense of humor is an important key here because I believe laughter is the best medicine when it comes to dark times. We want the show to be the safety net of putting a smile on your faces, whether it's having bad days, losses of loved ones, work, and other difficult challenges. The show will be there for you no matter what you are going through. You are not alone in this case. Be sure to comment on the episodes with the topics, share the podcast and streaming platforms of Anchor, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Breaker, Deezer, Pocket Cast, Podchaser, Listen Notes, Player FM, Podorama, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts, Audio Burst. And don't forget, you can find Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and the YouTube. Plus, don't forget to subscribe to the channel page, GMoneyStacks555. Click on the notification bell so you can be reminded of when Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast goes on the air live, upcoming live stream episodes, previous recorded episodes. Like, comment on the episodes with the topics, share the podcast, including the streaming services, with your friends. I'm GMoneyStacks, and thank you all for listening, tuning in, sticking around with us, and watching us on YouTube. And let's keep the views going and the subscribers going on the YouTube. Thank you. One love.